Sometimes people overdo it at Christmas time, don't they? It seems like we are incapable of just letting things be real. So you see this on your streets, don't you? You see people go overboard, and they go so overboard with the decorations that you could barely see the property, the house. It covers up with all of the lights and all of the glitter. It covers up the truth. Now, the unfortunate reality is that we have done this in many ways to the Holy Family, to the family of Jesus. In order to make it better, what we've done is we've put so much, tied up so much around who Mary and Joseph are, that we've lost who they are as individuals. And in doing so, we've lost the truth of their faithfulness and what they bring to the story. What I want to share with you today is a brief reflection on Joseph. But in order to talk about Joseph, I'm going to need to discuss Mary. Because one of the reasons we get Joseph so wrong is because we've had to make Mary so good that we've distorted Joseph in the process. Now, many of us, when we look at the Holy Family, we see Joseph and we portray Joseph typically as older than Mary. We've oftentimes seen Joseph as a 40-year-old man who's married a young girl. And the question is, why is that? Well, the simple reason for it is because of what we've tied into Mary over the last several centuries. Many within the church see Mary as what they call a perpetual virgin. Matthew 1 tells us that's not true. It says Joseph waited to consummate the marriage until after the baby was born. But what we have done is we've tried to make Mary so good that the relationship is never consummated. But that's not true. Now, those who believe this have something to deal with in the Bible. They've got to deal with this fact that later on in the story, Mary shows up with Jesus' brothers. Okay? Now, here's the problem. If Jesus has brothers, and Mary never had any other children, then Joseph has to be older because Joseph has to be a widower who married Mary. You see how all of this twists who Joseph and Mary are? By adding the extra things, by adding things that secure our own vision of splendor or holiness that is beyond what God has said, what we've done is we've created in this story a story where Joseph is much older and where Joseph is somehow so mature that his decisions are obvious. Here's the thing. Joseph was a young man. And as a young man, he had all of the questions, all of the concerns that any young man would have. But Joseph was also a man of God, and we're told this from the beginning of the story. In fact, Joseph is patterned after the Old Testament Joseph. So much so that if you look at the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that Joseph's dad was a man named Jacob. Joseph has dreams that take him to where? Egypt. And out of Egypt, God will bring his son, Jesus. Joseph is created and he is raised to be the prototype of an Old Testament patriarch. He's a young man who goes to Egypt, who fulfills God's word, who's the son of Jacob, and he becomes a great man of God. Now, the reason I'm sharing all of this isn't just because I am a stickler for truth. That's part of it. But the other part of it is this. When we create superheroes or superhumans out of our biblical characters, we make it seem like we cannot be people of faith and character. But the truth is God's call to be faithful was not just given to Joseph and Mary. God's call to be faithful in sharing Jesus with the world was not just given to them. It's given to us as well. Our responsibility is to carry it in our humanness and share Jesus with the world around us. You are capable of doing it through the power of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be better than human to bring Jesus to the world. All you have to do is to be faithful and rely on the power of God in your life. It will take courage, it will take love, and it will take God's movement in your life. Now, myself, I know that I wasn't born special, but I know that God has called me to a special purpose. And when I'm afraid, it's when I know that God is calling me to act. Joseph was afraid. He was concerned. And he acted in faith to do the right thing in a time where God needed the right person to do right. Today is the day in which we remember, and today is the day in which we also act to do what is right. I hope that as you continue to celebrate Christmas, it will be with an understanding that God is doing great things in your family, in your homes, and in your communities. Through you, God can do a great thing. At the end of our cantata, in just a moment I'm going to ask that we would receive our morning offering. But after that, we are going to go right into the cantata. So I've been asked to give a program note. The cantata is going to continue to roll right through song after song. You are going to like it, and you are going to have to fight the urge to clap. Please refrain from applause during the cantata. At the close, we can all say a hearty amen and share our appreciation for those who perform this. At this time, we welcome our ushers to bring forward our morning tithes and offerings. As they are preparing to do this, because we will not be receiving the offering up front, what we're going to do is we're going to have our offertory prayer now, and then we'll go into the next bit of music. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your blessings to each of us. We thank you for the love that you have given to us and for the grace that we've received in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through your birth, you have changed our lives. And in our lives, you have called us to change the lives of others. Continue to bless us as we give and help us to always receive from your Spirit strength, mercy, and love. And we pray it in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.